Thanks, David. Now let's turn to the book of Hebrews. I just had some little thought that I enjoyed recently when I was reading through Hebrews. I always like Hebrews. It brings out the Lord Jesus in a beautiful way. But at the same time, it's not an easy book. And so the Hebrews, they had two problems, the Hebrew Christians. We don't really know who wrote it, but we'll just say the apostle. So, now actually, the apostle in Hebrews is actually the Lord Jesus in chapter 3, verse 1. That's maybe the reason why the name of whoever wrote it is not mentioned, because the Lord Jesus is presented as the apostle. But the Hebrews, they had two problems. The first problem was persecution from the Jews, from the unbelieving Jews. And the second problem was that they still had a great emotional attachment to the Jewish religion with all its outward ceremonies, the temple. You know, the temple dominated Jerusalem, and everything that was visible, the sacrifices and everything else. And so in Christendom, in the Christianity, everything is... it's not a physical build, not a physical building. It's not outward ceremonies that counts, but it's they were supposed to believe in a person that died on the cross and rose again, and is now not visible with the physical eye. Well, that was a lot to ask of these Hebrews Christians that were used to all those outward ceremonies. And so they had then a tendency to get discouraged and to draw back. And so what does the apostle do? And I was noticing all these, and I wrote them all down, the ones that I could find. And I'll just read them to you. They had a tendency to drift away from the Lord. And so the first one is in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Drift away. That's gradually. And then chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So here is another expression, come short of it. That is, in the book of Hebrews, the Christian life is portrayed as a wilderness journey, just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. And for us Christians, going through this life with all its temptations and all its difficulties is like a wilderness journey. And so, what does it say about the Israelites in the Old Testament? Most of them fell by the wayside. They didn't believe. Let's go to verse 11, chapter 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Chapter 6, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish or lazy in a spiritual sense, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Chapter 12, verse 3. It says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And And then finally, verse 25, it says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." So all through the book, there are exhortations to not drift away, to not depart, to not get discouraged, to not refuse the Lord who speaks, to not disobey. And so I was wondering, you know, I was reading all those texts as I was going through. Well, where should we be then? If we are not supposed to drift, what resources has God given us that will keep us in the right path, so to speak? See, here is a big lesson that we need to, each one of us needs to learn, especially younger Christians, if you haven't figured this out yet, that you cannot live the Christian life in your own strength, even after you get saved. We're unable to live the Christian life. We need the Spirit of God. And so I was thinking about a few verses, it's very familiar to us, where the Lord wants us to be. And that is in chapter 4, verse 14. Now just remember that in the Old Testament, only the high priest, and that once a year only, could go into the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the ark were these cherubim. I think we saw that last Sunday, with some, or the Sunday before, I can't remember, with some pictures. And the Lord was dwelling on top of that ark. And so, in the New Testament, it's not just the high priest once a year. Every Christian is a priest, a spiritual priest, and can come continually in the Lord's presence all the time. And so here's what we read. "Seeing then," in verse 14 of chapter 4, "that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So here these verses present the presence of the Lord as a place of refuge, a place where we find security, a place where it's safe. You know, it's just like a little bit like when our children were small, and maybe we remember that too, when we were small ourselves, if you were with mom or dad, you felt safe because mommy and daddy knows where they're going. They might not have known, but that's how you felt, right? Well, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he knows where he leads us. And so this was the place of God's presence. And on top of that was that cloud. And that cloud also showed them the way in the wilderness of life. And so we can find refuge. Notice he doesn't say that, it doesn't say that the high priest sympathizes with our sins. He doesn't. But he sympathizes with our weaknesses. And so when we feel weak, we can know that he is strong. But we need to go where he is. We need to find, to flee to him, seek his presence through prayer and through reading his word and to spending time with his people. Because this is a place where the Christians, that the Jews had in the Old Testament, they had that together. And we also, that place, the throne of grace, we have it as individuals, but we also have that together as God's people. Now, another text is in Hebrews 10, verse 19. It's actually the same place. Chapter 10, verse 19. I actually think that's the climax of this beautiful book. It says there in chapter 10, verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So here is that holiest, that is the Holy of Holies, for us as Christians. That's the presence where the Lord Jesus is today in heaven. And we can enter there. Of course, it's not a visible place, physical place. But we can enter into his presence. And here, it's that same place where that throne of grace is. But here it's presented as a place of worship. Worship. You know, there's a beautiful verse in Psalm 91, verse 1. And it kind of combines these two ideas together. This is what it says. He that dwells, that's speaking to us, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's the place of worship, the Most High God, the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a place of refuge. Now, where we find, if we are worshipers in our lives, worshiping God, if we have an appreciation for the Lord Jesus, that's also the place where we find a refuge for our souls. So that's the place where the Lord wants us to be. Now, there's one other place, and that is, I just want to bring that out too, in chapter 13, because we want to be where he is. If we are with him, let's say if we were continually in his presence, we would never sin. Because as soon as you sin, you're not in his presence. That's maybe a little simplistic, but it is true. I was thinking that today. But the other place where the Lord Jesus is in Hebrews 13, verse 10. 13. So let's read. Start reading. And I'm not going to go into all the details. There's much to say about this. Chapter 13, verse 13. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, maybe I should read verse 12 as well. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, the background of these verses is the Day of Atonement. And so the animals, that those goats, and they were those bodies, the blood was brought in behind the veil, and the bodies were burned outside the camp. And so the Lord Jesus also suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem. And so here, what the apostle is saying, telling us, we need to go where he is. He is rejected by people. Now, what is the camp? The camp, it was, first of all, that was Jerusalem. It was the place of a religious system originally given by God, but that had rejected God himself, the Messiah. It is the religious place where there's no place for the Christ of the Scriptures. Now, what does that mean for us? You know, that is a place of rejection. It's not just separating yourself from evil, but it's going out to him. And as far as this world is concerned, the Lord Jesus has no place, either in its religious systems without God, without the Lord Jesus, in its political systems. The Lord Jesus is not a popular person in this world. And our call is not to make him popular. Our call is to preach the gospel and to make the gospel known. And, you know, these Christians, these Hebrew Christians, they knew what it meant to be persecuted. If you follow Christ, you're going to follow a rejected Christ. And so we need to put it in our heads. As Christians, if we are going to follow him, we're not going to be very much accepted by this world. We will be rejected. That's hard. That's difficult. But if we know the presence of the Lord Jesus in our lives, together, but also as individuals on a daily basis, if we experience that, we find a refuge and we are worshipers, then we will be able to also go out to him, bearing his reproach. That's not easy. But at the end of the day, that's where we want to be, where he is. Maybe I should give thanks. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is everything. We thank you, Father, that you are well pleased with him. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we pray that we as Christians may follow him, that we may be worshipers and find a refuge in his presence. Father, we pray that you may help us to not drift, to not fall either to the left or to the right side, but Father, that we may follow him. We ask you these things and we give you thanks for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, in his name.